turn with me to the book of Genesis to read the first scripture. Chapter 11, the book of Genesis. Chapter 11, verse 2. And it came to pass, as they journeyed from the east, that they found a plain in the land of Shinar, and they dwelt there. Verse 4. They said, "Go to, let us build us a city and a tower, whose top may reach unto heaven, and let us make us a name, lest we be scattered abroad on the face of the whole earth." Just a few verses in the book of the Psalms. Psalm 48. I shall touch a few verses in the Psalm. Psalm 48, for the sons of Korah. Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised in the city of our God, in the mountain of his holiness. Beautiful for situation, the joy of the whole earth is Mount Zion, on the sides of the north. City of the great king, God is known in her palaces for a refuge. Verse 9, we have thought of thy loving kindness, O God, in the midst of thy temple, according to thy name, O Lord. So is thy praise unto the ends of the earth. Thy right hand is full of righteousness. Let Mount Zion rejoice. Let the daughters of Judah be glad because of thy judgments. Walk about Zion and go round about her. Tell the towers thereof. Mark ye well her bulwarks. Consider her palaces, that ye may tell it to the generation following. For this God is our God forever and ever. He will be our guide even unto death. Chapter 21, the book of the Revelation. Chapter 21, part of verse 9. And there came unto me one of the seven angels, which had the seven vials saying, "Come hither, I will show thee the bride, the Lamb's wife." And he carried me away in the spirit to a great and high mountain, and showed me that great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God, having the glory of God, and her light was like unto a stone most precious, even like a jasper stone, clear as crystal. Verse 22. And I saw no temple therein, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple of it. And the city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon to shine in it, for the glory of God did light in it. And the Lamb is the light thereof. Verse 25, and the gates of it shall not be shut at all by day, for there shall be no night there. And they shall bring the glory and honor of the nations unto it, and there shall no wise enter into it anything that defileth, neither whatsoever work an abomination or make it a lie. They which have written in the Lamb's book of life. To take these few footsteps to this platform and endeavor to speak from these words I have read from Scripture may well be a task none of us dare to take. None of us dare to take. But we must be cast upon the Almighty God Himself and His Spirit to perform such a work. But I have set myself to this. It is no endeavor on the spur of the moment, I can assure you. I shall spend a few minutes on men's city, a few minutes. Though its building covers 6,000 years. Two will suffice in man's world. Here Mr. Hall said many years ago, God has taken the shine out of Shinar. And it's absolutely true. It's absolutely true. Man spread himself from the Garden of Eden where God had turned him out. And he chose, you can be assured, the best spot to make a city. And he did. If I took you to, I think, the 17th chapter of Revelation, you shall see what he made it. The wilderness. The wilderness. The two cities will suffice from antiquity. Yet two cities which were used by God for the correction of his people and for his own glory, namely Nineveh and Babylon. Nineveh on the Tigris, Babylon on the Euphrates. By the stroke of God they were removed in the peak of the glory. In the peak of the glory, there's one significant thing I've learned about them. These cities were built square. They were built square. And the great thing which was their defense was used for their destruction. In the case of Nineveh, the river of its defense was turned to drown it, to sink into oblivion. Only the records that God has been pleased to leave lie with us. You know, museums. Babylon. The river is turned. The gates were stormed and it fell. In the peak of its glory, so it was removed. But you know, God is a city. He has. And it's a city which has foundations. Which have foundations. There's a beautiful city which shall govern the earth, of which the psalm speaks, which I read. Beauty of holiness, the joy, the whole earth. Ezekiel, the prophet, saw the city, all the parts of the city that God had designed should be placed upon record, and in 8 chapters he covers, in sequence, his prophetic message with regard to the joy of the whole earth. The city of the great king, Jehovah Shammah. If you look in chapter 40, when the prophet is transported, what he saw was a frame. And in that frame, God drew to him, measured. The parts of the city, its walls, and so on. Reaching chapter 47, where the waters issued out, where there was a river to swim in, waters that could not be crossed. In the last chapter, he draws out the whole plan of God's redeemed people upon the earth, from the north to the south. It was a picture in a frame. I say that to you pointedly, because what I'm convinced about is, in the 21st chapter of the book of the Revelation, God has given us a gem in a mount. A gem in a mount. 3 things are said about that wonderful city. It's holy, it's great, and it's absolutely new, absolutely new. You're going to be assured, nothing has, nothing will ever be seen like this great city. Abraham looked for it. He looked for the city which had foundations, whose builder and whose maker is God. And John saw it. I, John, saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem. What a magnificent view he had. Something which has eclipsed everything that ever was placed in the heavens. These are weighty words, you know. But I trust they are based upon the infallible Word of God. It had wonderful features. It was like jasper, but it was pure gold. Pure gold. Another feature of that city. It was faceted in 6 facets. And I'm assured, in the faceting of that gem, God will display the work of his hand for 6,000 years. Gold, like this gold, was never seen upon the earth. It was pure gold. You may tear the earth apart, and you will not find pure gold. But he'll build into that city, as the result of his wonderful work, for his own glory, pure gold. As it were, you never saw gold like this. It cannot be seen upon earth, in nature, in physics, like transparent glass. God had a reason for it all. We may go on a little to the reason for it. And as the picture in the frame, so around that wall, its foundations exposed to the view of the universe. I've worked on foundations, and this is what I found. There are things in the foundations which shouldn't have been there. And there are things not in the foundations which ought to be there. That's in Men's City. I found that out. But I can assure you, in the foundations of the world of that city, it will shine and fill this world with its light. The nations of the earth shall walk in its light. For a variety, and this is only the world, the first foundation was jasper, the second was sapphire, the third was a chalcedony. The fourth was an emerald. The fifth was a sardonyx. The sixth was a sardis. The seventh was a chrysolite. The eighth was a beryl. The ninth was a topaz. The tenth was the chrysoprasus. The 11th was a jacinth. And the 12th was an amethyst. These were the foundations of the wall of that city. We have foundation. Whose builder and whose maker is God. The gates of that city, every gate was of one tower. What shall we say? But the suffering of the one who suffered, gave all that he had, he might gain that power from the Christ. Who can tell the suffering? Those who have endured to hold that truth, that it might shine in the day of discovery. I know thy poverty, but thou art rich. And so they stand, the emblems of what it has cost to open these gates of pride. And so it will shine. Wonderful features in this city. It's beyond anything that is seen in the solar system. Astronomy has no knowledge of it. The telescope has never seen it. It's only open to the eyes of faith. But it will not need the light of the sun, the regal light of the sun as a bridegroom coming out of his chamber. He will not need the moon, fair as the moon, for a reason we will touch.
in a few moments.
It will not revolve because everything will revolve around it in the wonderful ways of God. I in them, thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one, that the world may know. In verse 21, it's that the world may believe. In verse 23, it's that the world may know that thou hast sent me and has loved it as thou hast loved them. Do you wonder?
She has been given that unique place in the heavens itself.
Think of the words of the next verse.
In Ephesus, thou hast left thy first love. The flash of peace and love and bridal love had been lost.
It had waned.
Not much waned sufficient for him to feel it.
But in verse 24, Father, I will that they also whom thou hast given me be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory,
which thou hast given me, for thou lovest me
before the foundations of the world. This love never will. Never will. For thou lovest me before the foundations of the world. And I saw no temple therein.
As his eyes ravished the city, he looked for the focal point of it, the center of it, where the glory radiated from.
And he reached this wonderful point, indescribable point. The Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple of it. What a wonderful scene to muse upon.
Where God himself is, darkness cannot be there, night cannot be there.
Only the light of the glory of God to shine in it. For there shall be
no night there.
The nations of the earth shall walk in this light. They shall bring the glory and honor unto. This is our destination. God has this in view. God has this in mind. God has taken the shine out of Sinai.